Governor!
Hello,
Governor!
Hello, Governor!
Governor!
Hello, Governor!
Paging, Governor!
Governor!
Paging, Governor!
Governor!
Come in, Governor! Paging, Governor!
I see. Governor, where are you, sir?
I like it worked.
Hello.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Hello?
Hey, good morning. It's Rob or Elroy. I've got Governor Lamont on the line here.
Hey, Rob. It's Chaz and AJ. You're on the air. Good to hear your voice.
The entourage.
Good to hear you guys, too. The governor is on.
Thank you. Hello, Governor.
Hey, Chaz. How are you?
Hey, good morning.
Hello.
Boy, you know, it's a kooky year when a 100-year pandemic is the third thing I'm going to ask you about. All right, so let's start with the storm. Hardest hit areas, and when do you think we'll be back with power?
The south, southwest Connecticut was hit particularly hard. it didn't hit the shoreline quite as hard. It was low tide, so we didn't have a lot of the flooding and the such that we had during Sandy, but obviously power is out in about almost half the state. You know, that whole Westport, Danbury, that nexus is, they're working around the clock. First of all, what you got to have Eversource and UI do is clear the roads for safety in terms of downed wires and the such, and then we can start working on restoration.
It's unknown, right, when we'll be back? Are there any?
It's unknown.
Are there...
You know, we've got 500,000-700,000 people out. So they're bringing in crews from Canada, I was told. But give me till the end of the day, we'll have a better feel.
All right. Are there any areas that are out that you're most concerned about? Hospitals, police?
We had the Emergency Operations Center guys on this morning, and they were most worried about the New Haven port. I guess that was hit hard, power down, fuel and the such comes in and out of that port. So I guess that's a priority,
I would say.
All right. And then are you going to be, I'm guessing you're having a press conference today. I have an idea for it, if you'd like it.
I need ideas.
Okay, excellent. See, I love the governor's open to ideas.
Right.
I think you need to warn everybody about the ripoff artists. The people are going to knock on the door and say, hey, I'll cut that tree for you. Give me $300.
Scammers.
Or I'll fix that roof. Give me a down payment. Right? They're going to flood this state right now.
Yep.
I think, okay. I'll leave with that. See what happens.
All right. Very good.
You know, a lot of fraudsters out there.
Yeah.
Guys, I'll tell you, I don't know where the fraudsters were. Back when everybody was scrambling to get PPE, and everybody knew somebody who had a friend in the Ukraine. Give me the down payment now, and the plane will arrive. I mean, that was just rife with fraud. But I'll keep an eye open for tree trimmers, too.
Great. Electric bills, since we're talking about power outages and whatnot, a lot of talk about that lately. No one has really, I feel, taken responsibility for the surge in electric rates. What's your take on this?
Well, first of all, the biggest thing is that there was a surge in electric bills, and there was an increase in electric rates. So people at home, air conditioning on, that was responsible for a majority of what people were shocked by when they got that electric bill. And obviously, we put a pause on any rate increase, so PURA, the regulatory board, is going to take a good, you know, hard look at what they're asking for. I believe about 4% is related to the rate increase. Everything else is related to usage. And they've got a plan to help people, mitigate the payments over a period of time. And we've also doubled down on energy efficiency, putting in insulation. So that allows you to hold down your bills going forward, but obviously you can't do that overnight.
It's tough right now when you're looking at a $400 bill or whatever. I'm going to run some things by you. Tell me what's real and what's not real. So I heard that Connecticut pays about 24 cents for a kilowatt hour, and the national average is 13 cents. Is that true?
I can tell you we pay as much or more per kilowatt hour than just about any state in the country.
Yes. What can we do about that?
Well, we're at the end of the line. That's one of the problems when it comes to, everything from natural gas to oil. The main thing we've tried to do is slowly be less dependent on outside sources. And that means, obviously, we double down on wind and looking at some of the other renewables. But right now, the renewables are still a little more expensive than natural gas, especially when it's natural gas is at rock bottom, in part thanks to COVID, you know, lack of demand. So I think we got to keep a diversified source there and make sure we control our own destiny.
Governor Lamont's on the show. We're just covering a bunch of things. We're on electric bills right now. Somebody told us that SB number 9 in 2018 was the result of this or was the cause of this big increase. There was a mandated use of renewable. Like you just said, they're more expensive. And there was a requirement of buying power from Millstone, which is not cheap. Are those, is that true?
Well, that's certainly what the Senate bill said. But look, when I came into power, you know, in the office, the first thing that landed on the desk is Millstone has a very old plant, very expensive to run, and they're probably going to have to pull the plug on it. I said, oh my God, you guys are just bluffing a new governor. And then we looked around and they've shut down a number of other nuclear power plants. And, you know, then you say, well, thank God we've got all these other energy sources. We're not dependent upon Millstone. And everybody said, well, slow down. We don't have many alternatives. So we did. It wasn't just because the legislature said it. We had to find a way to keep the carbon-free nuclear going for a period of time until we can build a bridge to alternatives. So that's what we did with that 12-year agreement.
So 12 years. So we're looking at another 10 years of scheduled increases.
Ouch.
Well, the price is fixed, so it's not scheduled increases, but it's not the cheapest power out there right now. Natural gas is the cheapest power out there.
PURA answers to you, right? So if you, when PURA says the rates can go up, that's really coming from your office?
No, PURA is an independent regulatory board, but I did appoint the chairman, if that's maybe what you're referring to.
Okay.
But they make their own call as they analyze the rates.
So you can call up the chairman and say, if you'd like to continue in that office,
right,
you're going to do what I tell you
exactly.
to do.
Exactly. Listen
right?
very carefully, okay? Yeah, write this down.
Yeah. How do you like that desk?
Yeah, how do you like that view?
Yeah. I'll channel my inner Andrew Cuomo, yeah.
There you go. See, it works.
There you go. All right. Well, you know, we don't know what to do. So the bills are going to remain. So the rate's going to come back down and everyone's going to look at
stuff. The rate's going to come back down. I can't promise it stays that way, but we're going to make sure they have to justify every single, you know, penny. And in the meantime, we're doing everything we can to hold down usage and save you money. Look, I got 20% of the state is out of work. Other people are, you know, just living hand to mouth. And all of a sudden you get slapped with this bill. I mean, come on. So
right.
I could use a little relief from EverSource.
Yeah, we all could.
Back to school. Who's more upset, parents or teachers, with the plan?
I think parents overwhelmingly want to get their kids back to school. And I think most of them want to have at least an in-school option. If it's not 5 days a week, it's 3 days a week. Just the socialization as well as the education. So I think they feel some urgency there, and I do as well, frankly. Teachers, I think, look, nobody's totally safe, and there's a lot of anxiety, and why do I have to go back to school? So we're trying to work that through and give them confidence that when it comes to PPE, when it comes to disinfectant, when it comes to doing everything we can to keep them safe, the state is there. We got your back. And nobody goes back to school if you're over 65, you got a pre-existing condition, you can do that via Zoom. So I think we're going to get a balance there.
It seems like parents are either upset that it's broken up and they really can't schedule, you know, 3 days on, 2 days, whatever, or they're upset that their kids have to go back to school, period, right? Are you finding that? They don't want their kids in school or they want their kids in school every day.
Well, I'd say if you don't want your kids in school, they're under no obligation to send them to school.
Right.
You know,
okay.
We've loaded up on Chromebooks, providing internet access. And if you want to keep your kid out of school and you've got good alternatives, maybe a parent's at home that can help with the education, God bless you. You can do that, and that'll mean we have a little less crowding in our other classrooms.
That'll work.
All right. So what about the parents who say, I can't work and do this part time? I can't work it out where my kid's at school 3 days or 2 days.
Well, yeah, that is a tougher situation. That's why, especially for the younger grades, I'd like to have, at least K through five open 5 days a week. And what some schools are thinking about doing is if they can't do that 5 days a week, at least find an alternate place for those kids whose parents are working and don't have any alternative. At least we'll get them set up in a little computer lab or a supervised space. So I've seen a lot of very creative ideas coming from the superintendents that way.
Each town has a different plan. Would you rather have it all unified, one plan for all the school systems in the state?
Superintendents have been interesting on that. They've generally said, give us flexibility. We know our district. We know our school. And we've given a fair amount of flexibility within our guidelines. And the other ones have said, give us strong, strict guidelines, so you make the decision. It's not all on my back. So, again, it's a balance there. We've been very clear on what we want, which is in-school learning wherever you can do it safely, probably some sort of a hybrid for most people. And I think we're going to get there.
That's funny. Some school districts want to take the lead,
yep,
be in charge, and others want to hide under the desk.
Yes.
I don't want to take any heat for this, Governor.
You make
the decisions.
Yeah.
Yeah, the governor made me do it. Okay.
Right.
I'll take that.
There you go. See?
Yeah, Governor Lamont's on the show. How are teachers going to police kids who don't wear masks or cough on each other? The Chaz and AJ type kids.
You got to do it. They're not going to be having a mask on for 7 hours a day, by the way. There's going to be outside breaks. There may be some even outside classes, places where you can have a little more socialization without the mask. Obviously, indoors is the most, risky. But that said, when you're indoors, you're going to wear the mask. That's one of the requirements.
You and that's
have
it.
To wear
you're wearing
shoes
a mask
and a shirt.
Sorry or you're out. So wearing a mask or you're out.
Or a helmet.
Like wearing a shirt.
Right.
You're wearing it or you're out.
I think that's right. That's right.
Has anyone been fined? We talked about mask requirements and fines and the travel ban and fines for that. Have we issued any fines?
You remember back during barbershops and bars, there were a couple that were opening despite our guidance that you can't do that. And they were forced to close down again. And now the health departments are coming to us saying it can't be you're open or you're closed. So we're putting in place a system of fines. You only do that, Chaz, you warned them once, and then they say, you can't make me do it. And then we say, yes, we can.
Gotcha. So fines coming.
I think so.
There you go.
Yeah. Dr. Fauci was with you on one of your press conference meeting deals, and Hartford Current asked him a pretty good question about colleges. How do we deal with kids coming in from all over the country and really the world, and then they'll be tested, but will they self-quarantine?
I'll tell you, I feel much more confident about K-8 and much more cautious about college. K-8, there are kids coming from a district where you have a 1% infection rate and it's easy to cohort. In college, they're coming from all over the country and all over the world, and they're a little less likely to stick to their, quote, pod. So
yeah.
That said, we've said you have to be, if you're coming from any of those states, you have to be tested before you get here. You have to be tested after you get here. You have to, quote, quarantine within your college or, your cohort. But we got to watch that like a hawk. I mean, when I was 19, I was not cohorting.
Yeah, I don't think I would come into a state and say, I'm going to sit in a closet for 2 weeks.
Right.
Governor Lamont's on the show. And this week, you said Rhode Island's on the naughty list now for travel. What happened with them? And was that an awkward phone call to make because you're friends with that governor?
It was a little awkward. We did it by text, actually.
You texted her?
It's not me, it's you.
I'm not a man of great courage.
That's okay.
We're just taking a break.
Right. Yeah, we're not breaking up.
I hope they get off that quarantine list really fast. But what's really scary for me is we've always had a buffer zone around Connecticut, right? New York, Massachusetts, Rhode Island. And so we were always, I felt like we were insulated from the flow of COVID. I know that's a false hope, but it gave me some confidence. Now when you see that all gray with red or black just over Rhode Island, you know that's right across the border. You know you have 1,000 people going back and forth every day, a lot of them going to EB. A lot of them, you know, it's not a matter of choice. It's a matter of their lives and critical infrastructure. So we're watching that like a hawk. But obviously, if you don't have to come to Connecticut from Rhode Island, don't come.
It's a new slogan, actually.
Yeah. We're putting the signs up on the border right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. Yeah. And gold leaf, yes.
Phase 3 was put on pause, and we never heard anything about it. Bars, concerts, anything. How does that look? What are your thoughts?
We talked about that again yesterday, and I think it's going to go on pause for another month. Okay. It's just, you know, when I look at Rhode Island, I look at what happened in other parts of the country, I see how fast this thing can turn around. And every governor has told me bars are just, you know, a petri dish.
And outdoor concerts, you feel the same?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can have, a number of people for an outdoor concert, socially distanced and the such, but I wouldn't invite the Rolling Stones to Rensselaer as much as I'd love to hear them.
So, right. So Governor, you'd be open to Live Nation having a concert in, like, the Oakdale parking lot if certain requirements were met?
No, I don't think we're there yet. I mean, we've got, you know, Elizabeth Park here next to me in Hartford. Maybe they've got a couple guys playing guitar and they got an enormous field, fireworks. There are folks outside there, but I'd stay away from big organized concerts for now.
Okay, so Jimmy said he would need to know mid-August to be able to put something together. So today's August 5th. You're thinking that probably no outdoor concerts in Connecticut for 2020.
I have a feeling that will be the case. Don't make a headline out of it. We look every few weeks to see what the metrics are.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Well, we'll play this part of the interview to Jimmy tomorrow.
Play it over and over again.
All right, so you can hear him cry a little bit.
You might hear from your office.
Were you surprised, Governor, that football was included in fall sports?
I was a little surprised. But that said, I think the leagues have been pretty thoughtful about this. By the way, they were one of the first ones to close down, if you remember, during the spring. And there was hell to pay for about 48 hours, and then the NBA closed down. Everybody said, okay, I get it. And now for football, it's a contact sport. It's not intuitive to me.
Right.
But at least they're going to start with just drills for the first month, keep people separated so we have a better chance to see what the world looks like in September.
UConn football just announced they're canceling the 2020 season.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yep. Yeah.
I think it's the right move. You know, but yeah. they're going down to Florida to play games. Come on.
Right. Exactly.
That's
come on.
Idea. Yeah, come on.
AJ's mother went to Florida. Come
yep.
on.
Come on.
Police reform bill, the controversial part was the qualified immunity. We had an attorney on and said that federal law would make that part of the Connecticut law irrelevant.
I don't think it's irrelevant, but look, we wanted to keep qualified immunity to give our police confidence. There's not looking over their shoulder every time they're in a life and death situation, making split second decisions. But we also wanted to make sure that if there's a cop that had, real misconduct issues and broke the law, they could be held accountable. So I think the most significant thing, it was less about the qualified immunity, more about the fact that you can now decertify a cop that has had a history of misconduct, and they can't get a job in the force, and they can't get a job in the state in, policing.
Someone told me that in that bill that you signed now law, police can't ask passengers for their ID. Is that true?
I don't think that's true, and I don't think it should be true. And if there's some things that we're going to fix in that bill, we've got September and then the January session to do it. Doesn't start for another year.
Okay. So if that was in there, you'd want that out.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Then, Senator Murphy, one more question. I'll let you go. I know you have. He's the governor. He has things to do.
Breakfast.
Senator Murphy mentioned that he wants to pull back on resource officers or police officers in schools. Do you agree with that?
I think it depends on the school, don't you? But I'll tell you that what I hear from every school, because I was always the guy talking about STEM and coding and preparing people for jobs, and they all said, give us a couple of social workers. Especially now that I've had kids who have been sort of on the sidelines, off the battlefield for the last 4 months, and their social isolation and distress is heavy. They're coming back to school with a lot of trepidation. That's what I think we need.
I think that based on the teachers we've talked with on the air, the inner city teachers and some of the suburb teachers are afraid for their own safety.
Seriously.
Some of them get jacked up in the hallways.
It's rough.
It's tough, and to not have someone there who can be security is a frightful thing. So I wouldn't be for that. I would look into that if it started making its way into Connecticut.
But more to the point, I think, Chaz, I got to do everything I can to give teachers confidence because I got to get them back into the school any way I can.
Right.
And so if that's an issue, we got to address that issue.
All right, Governor. Well, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it. I know you're a busy guy, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, Chaz. Take care, AJ.
You too.
Governor Lamont. You think he has a generator at the mansion?
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah.
Got a power station. Actually.
He's probably got a good one, right? He's not out there with a pull cord.
Right, no.
No.
Actually,
several of them, probably.
There's a staff on treadmills running right now.
Yeah.